From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
Hi, and welcome to a special edition of, well, we don't really know what this is, but we are going to be talking today about the special, shocking episode of last night's House. Hi, I'm Yvette Walker, and with me...
I'm Mike Kaler, a multimedia editor and a House aficionado.
Yes. Well, I could say this is a special edition of the American Idol, American Idol podcast, but yes. Since we are...
We draw checks directly from Fox Broadcasting.
That's true. But we had to come to the studio and talk about this because it was just such a surprising episode. Well, surprising to me. Some people had been hinting at something happening all season, but never did I know... or did I figure out what was going to happen? And let's just say, as the writer for EW.com said, DEFCON 1, spoiler alert, if you do not know what we're talking about, you know, go look elsewhere on newsok.com. don't leave the website, just go look elsewhere, because we're going to tell you what happened.
Go read the pet blog.
That's right. Pet blog is actually really, really great. If you're House fans out there, you know that there's such a close working team, House and his team, which consists of House and
three doctors and Foreman.
Three doctors and Foreman. That's right. We always have to use Foreman differently. And last night we lost a doctor, and that doctor was Dr. Kuttner. And how we lost him was even more surprising than the actual death himself or itself, and that was by suicide. And I've been reading about this all day. You know, Kuttner was probably the most well-adjusted person on the show, at least superficially.
Yeah.
And, you know, finding him dead on his bedroom floor in a pool of blood that 13 slips around in, mm-hmm. With a gun next to him was just, in fact, I didn't even see the gun next to his hand. I mean, I had to, because, you know, I DVR everything. I really had to rewind it for a minute because I said, what is that? I could not believe that they were telling me that it was going to be a suicide.
I try to be pretty up on what's going on. You know, I'm the king of spoiler alerts. I'll read the whole synopsis of a movie on Wikipedia before I go see it. And this totally took me by surprise. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have been more stunned. It was upsetting. I was shocked, not since Henry Blake's plane crashed over the Sea of Japan in MASH had I been so stunned by the death of a character. So... this was, yeah, it took me a while to kind of figure out what was going on and, oh, is he really dead? Is he?
Exactly.
You know, when they cut at the, and went to commercial, they had called the ambulance and then they came back and they were back in the conference room and before, you know, he was dead. You know, this is not a dream. This is not a drug-induced illusion. He's really dead.
You know, we didn't see... Did we see the Kuttner character at all in the show? No, we didn't. No, we did not.
He was gone, and nobody knew where he was.
Yeah, that's right. He was gone.
And Taub said he was at, you know, the comic book convention whatever.
Right. And that was surprising because Kuttner's always there. He's never late. Mm-hmm. It was just now even more surprising. We find today, as I've been searching around, is the why, because I got to tell you, when I left that show last night, I wondered.
When Harold and Kumar 3 was coming out. That's what I wondered.
I still wondered, could it be true? I wonder why they had that really weird tribute to Kuttner at the end. You go online and pay your tribute to Kuttner. It just seemed very strange.
I didn't care for
that. I even wondered, is this guy dead? Did I miss his obit? I mean, I wondered a lot of crazy things, and I wondered why. And the why is because Cal Penn, the actor who plays Dr. Kuttner, has been interested in politics for some time, he says. Did play a role in the Obama campaign, and now will be playing a role in the Obama administration. And he will be the associate director in the White House Office of Public Liaison. Huh? Now, I didn't have time to Wikipedia that.
He's a guy,
I don't know what that means. I mean, well, according to him, this office... basically, they do outreach with the American public and with different organizations. He says, quote, they're basically the front door of the White House. They take out all the red tape that falls between the general public and the White House. similar to what he was doing on the campaign, he said.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's interested in politics. This doesn't feel really politicky to me, but clearly he really likes the Obama administration and he wants to play some role. And this is the role that they found for him.
Mm-hmm.
I sent out some message today and they said, wow.
Yeah.
I just, okay, wow, all right. So, serious pay cut, that's for sure.
That's true. And maybe he's just kind of, he's a good actor. And I kid about Harold and Kumar, but those are funny. Those are really, really funny movies. This guy's been good in a lot of different stuff. But, to me, it's almost like, learning the real life story, almost I really don't want to know about it too much because
yeah.
it mixes up with the storyline and kind of the all the impact that his death is going to have on the show.
Well, let's go back to the show because you're absolutely right. I mean, this may be the end of the Kuttner character, but it certainly will not be the end of us talking about it. In fact, I think this death is going to be similar to the death of the character, the girlfriend of House's best friend. I'm blanking.
Oh, yeah.
You know who I'm talking about.
The mean girl, yes.
The mean girl.
Amber.
Yes, Amber. Yes, cutthroat.
I
can't really say it's cutthroat. B.
Yeah.
Yes, because her death certainly played beyond the show. Where she died, and it affected a lot of characters. And we're going to see that with mm-hmm. this show. And in fact, this EW Entertainment Weekly article is kind of referring to whether or not it's going to draw throw Cuddy and House together, whether or not it will affect Chase's relationship
mm-hmm.
With his former girlfriend. They don't mention 13 and Foreman, but
they're having
issues as it is now.
Every week.
So yeah, yeah.
Well, the thing that struck me that's been leading. The one kind of trail of clues that I followed and that struck me last night was when Wilson was finally talking to House about how House is worried that he's slipping. Because if you've noticed the past few weeks
mm-hmm.
about Kuttner, is that Kuttner had figured some stuff out before
That's
him.
Right.
And
That's right.
And Kuttner was as close to a protege or as close to the intuitive, genius that House is in figuring these things out. So
mm-hmm.
you were thinking all along, like, is he going to challenge House because he thinks he's smarter than him?
Mm-hmm.
How is that going to play out? And then they dropped this bomb last night, which I think is why it had affected me so much, is that he was the closest parallel to House of, kind of solo genius as a character as far as he's a smart guy who's by himself and who's kind of alone in the world, and House kind of saw himself in Kuttner.
Okay, that's fair.
And then that led to Wilson's conversation with him last night, which was, you're worried that your powers, as they mm-hmm. are decreasing, and then this might cause House to unravel even more than he's already unraveled every week. So
that's true.
So that was the biggest resonance for me.
I've been reading about the producers, David Shore and Katie Jacobs, and what they were thinking about after they found out Cal Penn says, hey, I really think I need to make this move, and so what are they going to do? Lots of questions. Why didn't you just have him go to a different hospital? Why'd you have to kill him? Why? That's what a lot of the fans are asking. I must say that through part of it, it felt a little manufactured to me, but what was interesting, and they say what fascinated them, was the whole idea of, this was something that no one could figure out.
Mm-hmm.
And as you just said, right. This is really going to affect House. And then at the very end, as I said, go online, do this tribute. Then they have a suicide hotline number. I don't know. Some of that just didn't seem very real to me. It felt pretty much manufactured to me. I didn't enjoy it.
The thing on the website, I didn't like at all.
Yeah.
I thought it was just in poor taste.
Yeah.
The thing, it was good. I think they had a suicide hotline on this deal. I think that part of the thing that they want to get at is that people like House and people like Kuttner, these really, really, really smart people who think they have all the answers, something that comes along with this is this burden of I've got to have everything figured out and I've got to know what's going on all the time. And so I think that, you know, knowing people like that, knowing kids like that, you know, that had some extra special impact for me because that is what's pushing down on you all the time when you're like that is, you know, it reminds me of in broadcast news when they talk to Holly Hunter's character and the guy says, William Hurt says, isn't it great to know that you're the smartest person in the room? And Holly Hunter says, no, it's terrible. Mm-hmm. So that's the burden that House has to deal with all the time. That's why he's on drugs all the time. And, you know, that's what Kuttner couldn't handle.
But what concerns me a little bit is these are rare people. I mean, certainly there are people, they exist like this. They're very special and genius-like and something, you know, they may make decisions that you just don't see coming. But what concerns me just a little bit is for the vast majority of us, we're not like that. And we are a little bit more transparent. And I'm a little concerned that, of course, the House immediately wanted to blame people. In this case, the blame was not, you know, was not real and it was not appropriate. But for most of us, I think, who may be feeling this way, I think that there are signs. I think that we do send off things. So it concerns me just a little bit that this show almost, you know, almost allows you to not deal with that. Where for the most part, I would say that if there are people who are feeling like that, there are some signs, and as we are friends for these people, we need to recognize the signs, and if we see something going on, we need to act on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it concerns me just a little bit, but in this case, it's appropriate to do that because these are very rare people; they're very special people.
Mm-hmm.
For the vast majority of people, not like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it kind of kept people who watch the show every week. It kind of keeps you off. It kind of kept you off balance because there's always that. You're waiting for the epiphany at 45,
right.
at 7:45. Mm-hmm. Oh, here it all clicks and da-da.
Yeah,
that never came. And that kind of goes with the difference that they've always set up between House diagnostically and House kind of personally, which is this is A plus B equals C, and this is a tremendous mess.
Now, let's talk about Taub for a second because some people might have thought that he would have been the character that might have committed suicide because he's got some issues going on. But in this episode, he stayed behind at the hospital for his patient while everyone else kind of, you know, spiraled off into their own, you know, their own grief and their own just confusion. Although at the end, obviously, he broke down and cried. But what do you think about that character? You know, him staying behind, you know, being responsible for this patient, dealing with his grief in that way, and then at the end, allowing himself to break down a bit.
Well, I think what was playing in his head is that it, you know, it should have been him or it could have been him. Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, like they referenced that he tried it before and he's having these financial problems that he thought this one guy was going to bail him out of and this continued problem with his wife. And so, you know, it's kind of there by the grace of God a moment for him where he's going to put up this front because he doesn't want to have to kind of face that big question of, you know, if it can happen to this kid who was joking around and, you know, let me take credit for something last week that I didn't deserve credit for.
Right.
And seemed like a good guy, you know, shouldn't it or couldn't it happen to me?
I think the relationship between his patients, the man and the woman, you know, I slightly, you know, kind of fed into it. And you know what? On any other show, the fact that Meatloaf, and I'm a big Meatloaf fan, the fact that Meatloaf was in this episode would have meant a little bit more than it did last night.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I did not realize that he was going by his whole name, Meatloaf a Day. Exactly. It's like,
I tried to have a Meatloaf a Day.
Did you ever?
It's a joke.
Yeah. But you had these two characters, the one man who's dying of kidney failure and heart failure, and then his wife, who in kind of a Munchausen way, although actually that's probably not a good term, but in this way, she's trying to fake her own illness in order for him to get stronger. And then it's partially faking, partially there is something wrong with her. But it's the love that they have, right. and somehow this you know this symbiotic relationship that they have, mm-hmm. that seemed to also play into this whole episode, which I thought was kind
of
interesting.
Well, yeah, I think it was about dying for a reason versus dying for no reason,
yeah,
and that and unconditional love, you know, which is something that House isn't crazy about to begin with.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't believe in it.
No, I mean, everybody lies and everybody has a motive.
Right.
So
right. And we saw that last night, too,
yeah,
because she did lie.
Yeah, I mean, of course she did.
Of course she did. It couldn't be House if there was no lie.
So, you know, it all played into it. Now, like you said, it's going to have ramifications all through the way because, you know, House is sometimes he's just barely hanging on to... You know, he has this, you know, firm core of his certainty, which is, you know, I'm going to figure out the cause of this problem. And once that goes away, it's going to be a lot of Vicodin.
Well, there's a lot of rumors going on. As I said, he and Cuddy supposedly are going to have sex. Chase, and what is Chase's girlfriend's name? I'm blanking on her. You know what I'm talking about. The blonde. Their relationship is going to grow a little deeper. I don't know. I think House may be in an asylum for a short time. At some time, if not this season, maybe next.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me, you know, again, to go back to MASH, the greatest show ever. Reminds me of Hawkeye. I mean, here's a guy who copes in a certain way.
Yeah.
He's a great doctor, and he's a funny and witty guy, and he can cope that way. But eventually, if you're around too much death and too much craziness, you lose it yourself. And mm-hmm. I think there's a parallel there.
Well, I think we'll just have to, you know, we'll have to see what happens in upcoming shows. Tune in next time for Mike's evaluation of both Hawkeye and House. I think that's actually genius.
Well,
that's kind of a very interesting perspective there. We'll talk about that some other time.
Two of my two favorite characters.
Well, if anything else happens crazy on House, you'll hear from us again. Otherwise, tune in on Wednesdays for our American Idol podcast.
A little more high spirits there.
That's right. That's right.
Less unexpected death.
Until then, I remain Yvette Walker.
And I'm Mike Kaler.
Thanks for tuning in.